This is The Gaggle with David Helfenbach.
This week on The Gaggle, we have on Mark Daly. Mark Daly is a founding partner of Proper Daily, which is a Los Angeles-based social impact agency. Mark is a former communications director and spokesperson for then-Senator Clinton's presidential campaign. And in 2005, Mark founded One Iowa, the Hawkeye State's largest LGBT equality organization. Mark, it is a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Mark, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what it is like to found your own company and what exactly Proper Daily does. Can you talk a little bit about your own company and what you do?
Sure. Proper Daily is just about 5 years old now, and we call it a social impact agency. So Proper Daily works with three different types of clients. We work with individuals, brands, and causes. Our team itself comes from a multidisciplinary background. We have folks who come from advertising, marketing, digital. We have a behavioral scientist and MBAs, lawyers, and really the idea behind this, the agency, is that if you want to create real social impact, real change in the world, you have to look at all of the different levels of change that are out there and develop a holistic strategy to make that change. So we work with these individuals who tend to be either high profile or high wealth, who have some sort of burning passion, some issue that keeps them up at night, and we help them create a holistic campaign just to create that change. So we work currently with folks like Bradley Cooper on his Cooper Fund, which will be doing some work around cancer. We work with John Legend. We just launched the Free America campaign with him, which is to help end mass incarceration in the United States. And then we work with brands and causes from Disney and Hilton, Activision. We run the Call of Duty Endowment for Activision, which is their philanthropy, which has successfully employed more than 25,000 veterans over the last 3 years, with incomes over $50,000 on average in places all over the country. And then lastly, we work with nonprofits, organizations, or coalitions of nonprofits, and help them develop strategies to move the needle on their issues, whatever it is that they're looking to do in the world. We want to see how we can help get them there.
How does a social impact agency differ from, for example, a PR firm?
Good question. So we look at things from multiple lenses. So where PR is more focused directly on getting earned media attention or digital or social, we combine all of that with other levers. So we also have, we add marketing, creative content development. We add in there whatever else might be, that they might be looking for. We do philanthropic, consulting. So there's just more disciplines that we look at issues from. The other thing that I think kind of sets us apart from anyone really is we look at things through a behavioral science lens. We understand that awareness alone is not enough to create change. Everyone knows you shouldn't do drugs, yet people still do drugs, or people do smoke even though they shouldn't, or that eating certain food is going to make you obese or whatever. So the idea is, as we build a campaign, we try to put a behavioral science practices into it so that we look at what do people need to know, how do we want them to feel about it, so how do we shift attitude? But ultimately, the bigger question at the end of the day is, what do we need to do to get them to change their behavior? And then the long-term impact of immediate behavior change is, of course, culture shift. So as we build our campaigns, we're looking at long-term outcomes and with short-term gains.
How did you come up with this concept?
I don't know. I mean, I think, initially we started the company. My business partner was the one really who said we should start a company. We were focused, I think, mostly on individuals, and a lot of that was having exposure to folks who were high profile in particular, who had an issue that they cared deeply about. If you think about the universe of a celebrity, who are the folks that are around them? The majority of them are either family members, old friends, or folks who stand to financially gain when they work or when they do things. So if you want to do something to give back to the world, who in that orbit is helping you do that? And so we have this vision that ultimately at some point in time, everyone of stature will have a social impact agent working with them to help them create that change that they're looking to accomplish. Now, we rapidly expanded. You know, within our first year, we started adding both corporate and cause clients because we realized there was a lot we could do with them to help, you know, advance their agendas.
Are there certain issues that are more important than others? Are you across the board a lot of issues important to you?
Well, I have a lot of issues that I care deeply about personally. I mean, I think we are in our company, there are certain issues we probably would never work with just because we are opposed to them. But we do, you know, as I look at it, we have a couple different clients in particular that are things that matter a lot to me. I'm a foster dad, and so we work with a couple different organizations around foster care that I am very passionate about their work. I also, I have ADHD as well, and we work with an absolutely incredible organization called Understood.org, which is a nonprofit-backed resource, online resource for parents of kids with learning and attention issues that is absolutely revolutionary. My favorite element of it is a thing called Through Your Child's Eyes, which allows an individual to go in and experience what it's actually like to have ADHD, dyslexia, dyscalculia, whatever the dysgraphia, any of the learning and attention issues. And so really they've just, in less than a year and a half, they're getting nearly, 2 million monthly visitors, 17 million visitors have been there in total. They're just, knocking it out of the park and really changing lives. Those are two, I think, that really stand out to me.
You used to work for Secretary Clinton on her last presidential campaign. What is it like to work on a presidential campaign?
Well, working on a presidential campaign is an absolutely amazing experience. It's absolutely exhausting, but it is absolutely amazing. You get to, I had a really great job. I ran the Iowa Press Shop, and I got to go be with Secretary Clinton as she was traveling throughout Iowa and meeting with people, whether it's speaking to large groups or in small meetings or, walking on a rope line, shaking hands after an event. I was, really pretty close to her and getting to hear these conversations that were taking place. And I think to me what I loved most about it was the interaction that the secretary would have with the people on the rope line when they would share their stories of success and challenges, things like, not having access to healthcare or, the struggles they were facing as a result of job loss or companies moving or the kind of manufacturing or whatever it might have been, and to see her interact with them and how she would take that back and make sure that, the staff was following up with people that she had met to, if there was something she could do to help, she wanted to make sure they were getting the help that she could give them. And it just really was a great perspective to have, a great point of view to be sitting there and experiencing all of that and also helping people's lives in that sense.
You were both a communications director and a spokesperson. Can you explain a little bit to people what a communications director does, what a spokesperson does? I know that not all communications directors are spokespeople, so what the difference is and what the similarities are and what those jobs entail?
Sure. The communications director role, I oversaw our staff. I don't remember how many people we had. It was well over a dozen or so by the end of the caucuses. But really, the idea was we worked with the National Press Shop to come up with what are the messages we're pushing out, and then how are we reaching voters. Be working with the media as well as the social and digital side for the state. What are the targeted messages that we're pushing out there? And then, as a spokesperson, I was the one who actually spoke on her behalf to television, radio, newsprint, whoever was looking to do interviews.
What do you think of the presidential election this year, and how does it differ from the campaign that you worked on last time?
Well, I think this is the first election that I can ever recall in which I feel like if the candidate I'm supporting loses, the Republic is in danger. Where before I felt like if John McCain or Mitt Romney had won, I don't think the country would have it ceased to exist. Where now I'm horrified that Donald Trump, what he could wreak on our country. So I think that's the biggest thing. But the other thing that I think is just really disheartening is I just feel like as this is by far the most sort of appalling in some way campaign cycle. I can't just the negative attacks and the hate and the things that are just being put out there. I wish we could collectively step back inside of ourselves, look at the big picture, and be more empathetic to one another, and realize that these two individuals themselves are human beings, as well as their supporters, and we all benefit when we're all better off. So I wish we could be more empathetic as a society.
If I were someone who said I wasn't going to vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, what would you tell me as a communications director?
Well, I hope you vote in the down ballot races. I certainly would try to encourage you to vote for Hillary Clinton from my personal side of that. But I do hope that you would participate in the election. Just I think that there is a sense of loss of patriotism when people are not voting or not taking the time to inform themselves. Anyone with limited resources even has access to information as to who are the right people and how do I register, where do I go, when do I do it, and there are things you can do to make voting more accessible, and I feel like we all have a responsibility to take part in the process, even those who I disagree with in their voting.
In 2005, you founded One Iowa. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that was?
Sure. One Iowa, at the time, there was really wasn't a statewide LGBT organization like, Empire State, New York, or California Equality. And I had gotten word that Lambda was going to file the lawsuit in Iowa. And public opinion at the time was somewhere like 30-some-odd percent support of gay marriage in the state of Iowa. So we, I went around to some friends who quickly jumped on board, and we were able to secure some funding from national organizations as well as individuals both in Iowa and around the country. And we started an organization that got a couple in Iowa. We were not-for-profit, but C3, C4 arm, where we went out and actually met with people targeting people who were likely persuadable. I mean, all of this was data-driven, canvassing door-to-door, asking questions, identifying how we get people to persuade them. And really, it was a lot of message framing. I think this was to me when I first fell in love with the idea of using behavioral science in messaging. A lot of the messages we were being told to use were around equality, when the truth is it wasn't an equality message that was moving Iowans. It really was a message of fairness. It wasn't, we're often told we're all created equal, but let's be honest, if that were the case, we'd all be Beyonce. So the truth is, not that we're not created equal, it's that we deserve to be treated fairly and equally in that sense. And so it became a message of fairness, and that we quickly resonated with people. By the time the court ruling came out, before the ruling came out, we had more than a majority of public support. It dropped a little bit when the ruling came out, but they quickly gained it back up shortly thereafter. It exists today, too, and it's doing great with wonderful leadership.
Believe it or not, we are at our final question. And my final question for you, which is one that I ask everyone, is if someone is listening to this and they want to be the next Mark Daly and they want to follow in your footsteps, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them to work hard, be nice to people. If you say you're going to do something, do it. I think the best – when I was in college, Barney Frank spoke to one of my classes, and he gave his advice was that you're in politics, your friend today is your enemy tomorrow, and your enemy today is your friend tomorrow. And so you never make it personal. It's only just about, the issue or the cause that you're fighting for. And so I would just tell people to, and the bigger picture on, when it comes to beyond politics and the stuff that we've done at Proper Daily is, we started a company because we believed in creating positive change and helping people, and this was a way in which we could do it on multiple issues and work with people who are game changers in their own right. So we are, there are issues out there that we care deeply about and that our clients care deeply about, But ultimately, you know, I love what we do. I love waking up in the morning and checking my inbox to see what, you know, what's happening today with our clients and what's going on. And I think if everybody can find something that they care deeply about, they're going to be successful and they're going to be happy. And that's really, I think, is what's most important.
Mark Daly, thank you so much.
Thank you.